Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we come to God's Word this morning, we turn to 1 Kings chapter 9, the first 9 verses, as we read together the Word of Almighty God. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he wanted to do, then the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now if you walk before me as your father David walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, You shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you, or your sons, at all turn from following me, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, to go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them. And this house which I have constructed for my name I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, every one who passes by it will be astonished, and hiss, and say, Why has the Lord done this to the land, to this land, and to this house? Then they will answer, Because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. Thus far the reading of God's Word, may He add His blessing to it. As we open God's Word this morning, we look at the fact that God has accepted the prayer which Solomon has made toward Him about the temple which he has built. And it's a very powerful acceptance, and yet at that same time it is a double-edged acceptance. It comes with the promise of God that if Solomon and with Israel will be obedient to God, that God would greatly bless Israel. And yet at that same time, if they will be disobedient to God, that this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hiss and say, Why has the Lord done this to the land and to this house? And we see that God promises the destruction that would come about because Israel would disobey God, because Israel would go after false gods. Indeed, Solomon himself has already begun that pathway with his wives. And so as we look at God's Word, the theme that we want to see is God consecrates the temple to His glory, and in the future, because of disobedience, to stand as a memorial to His judgment. God consecrates the temple to His glory, and in the future, because of the disobedience of Israel, it stands as a memorial to His judgment. In verses 1 through 3, we see that God has heard Solomon's prayer and consecrated the temple. In verses 4 through 5, we see the establishment would be in obedience to God. Then in verses 6 through 9, we see that forsaking God's commandments brings destruction and judgment. So first of all, verses 1 through 3, we see that God has heard Solomon's prayer and consecrated the temple. God waits for a while after the dedication of the temple. We read that it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire which he wanted to do. This is a while later. This isn't immediately after the service that we read about in the previous chapter. We see that God appears to Solomon the second time. He appears as he did at Gibeon. In a dream, we read in 1 Kings 3, verse 5. And this is, of course, a great honor to Solomon, to the second time have God appear to him in a dream. And God says, I have heard your prayer, and the supplication you have made before me. I have consecrated this house, which you have built, to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. God has heard Solomon's prayer and says, Yes, I will do this for you. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, a glorious thing. And the temple, he says, is consecrated to His name forever. His eyes and His heart will be there. And he says that it will be established in obedience to God, we read in verses 4 and 5. That consecration is dependent on Israel's obedience to God. Notice very carefully that this is talking about the leaders of Israel. If you walk before me as your father David walked. And if your children so walk, verse 5, if your sons turn from following me, we see that the leadership of Israel is called to be obedient to God. If they are not obedient, Israel will follow. And we see that with Jeroboam very quickly after Solomon's death, that the northern 10 tribes go very quickly to problems and to hell, really. And we need to understand that as well. If the leadership is in falsehood, the people will follow very quickly behind. And so Solomon is called to obedience, to walk in integrity of heart, in uprightness, doing God's commandments, keeping God's statutes and judgments. He says very many ways in which God says that you are to be obedient to what I have told you to be. And the king was to be someone who understood the word of God, to read it. And indeed, the king was someone who was supposed to be able to copy the word of God so that he would have his own copy of the Old Testament, of the Bible as it was so far. And God says and promises that if Solomon and if his sons will do this, there will not fail a man to sit on the throne. Solomon's throne would be established over Israel forever, as God had promised to David. And yet, if we remember backwards, God's promise to David also contained this same sort of caveat, which said, if you're disobedient, you will not be, your descendants will not be rulers over Israel. We have to understand something. God's promises in this manner are not unconditional. The condition is on obedience to God. And yet, of course, we know that we are sinners and we cannot even begin to do that which God requires of us. And so we have to understand the rub here involved is that God calls us to be obedient to him, and he calls us to that obedience, yet we must rely on God to give us that obedience as well. In fact, I believe that's how Luther said that, is, Lord, require of me that which you will, and give me that which you require. Because we are not producing the righteousness that saves us. It is only through Jesus Christ. And so, forsaking God's commandments, God says, will bring destruction. If Israel's kings at all turn from following God, the consecration becomes a witness against Israel. Turning at all, just a little bit, from following God, the consecration becomes God's witness against Israel and against the temple. 2 Samuel 7, verses 14 through 16. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever, God tells David. And yet Israel does go after other gods. We can look back on that. 1 Kings 11, verse 9, so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And it references this very fact that God had appeared to Solomon, and yet Solomon is turned aside by women after other gods. And Israel would be at some point cut off from the promised land because of their sins. The temple would be cast out from God's sight. Leviticus 18, verses 24 through 29. Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you, for the land is defiled. Therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either you of any of you of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled. Thus the land vomit you out when you also defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off from among their people. And this all happened. We, in the United States, need to realize that we are in grave danger of this happening, of God destroying us, as we allow and even revel in horrendous sins such as abortion and sex outside of marriage, and whether homosexual or heterosexual, and so many other things that we approve, and these are in absolute violation of God's commandments. We have to understand something. I have a friend who's a missionary in Africa, and he hears from the people in that country in Africa, they ask the question, why does the United States push homosexuality and other things when other nations, in fact, China and India, are pushing economic development and things like that? And it's very interesting what our witness as the United States is throughout this world. And it's a very horrible witness. And we need to understand that. And Israel would become a byword among peoples. Jeremiah 24, verse 9, I will deliver them to trouble and to all the kingdoms of the earth, for their harm to be a reproach and a byword, a taunt and a curse in all places where I shall drive them. Jeremiah is looking back on what Israel had done, and that Israel would be going into captivity very soon because of their sins. This is what Israel became. This happened in the captivity, but it also happened after Christ, as many Israelites would not believe on Jesus Christ. And as many people today will not believe either, we have again a danger, a grave danger to us. And God's consecrated house, then, we read, becomes a monument to his judgment against sin, verses 8 and 9. Everyone who passes by the temple will be astounded and hiss, we read. Why has the Lord done this thus to this land and to this house? This is what we see when we consider the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, that an absolutely horrible religion has their mosque on top of this temple site. Jesus said that not one stone will be left of this temple which shall not be cast down. And that happened. Why has this happened? Because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of Egypt. We need to understand something. When we forsake God, God is not amused. God does not play games about these sorts of things. God will judge. Deuteronomy 29, verses 25 through 28. Then people would say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God, of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, for they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods that they did not know, and that he had not given to them. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against this land to bring on it every curse that is written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger, in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. The Israelites did embrace other gods. And we read already that Solomon had begun to mess around with things like that, as we've already read in chapter 11. And so, brothers and sisters, as we open God's Word this morning, it contains for us a warning. It contains for us a warning against playing around with sins which God finds to be abominable, sins which are horrific in His sight. And we need to be very careful because we are becoming a byword among the peoples of the world because of our sins and because of our approval and even pushing sin in this world. And so God promises His presence at the temple, and that presence is a glory, a wonderful thing. And yet, at that same time, as that temple is desecrated, it becomes a byword and it becomes a witness against the sins of Israel and against our sins today. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week, or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. If you are closer to Dickinson, we invite you to First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. Worship there is at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 10:30 a.m. Sunday mornings. If you would like to listen to this message again or to other sermons by myself and my colleagues, they can be found on the internet at worldwidewebsermonaudio.com under NPCRCUS, or just search for my name on sermonaudio.com. If Ashley or Dickinson are too far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, Golden Valley and Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.